Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This week, we bring you a special July 4th show where we look at how federal deployments affect our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, their families, their civilian employers, and their military commanders. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As we prepare to celebrate this 4th of July, reflect with me for a moment. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Does it mean a day off from work, picnics, patriotic concerts, and fireworks? For many, it is an opportunity to wear red, white, and blue to unfurl the American flag. The day is an opportunity for a vacation with family and friends, barbecues, and summer games. What's lost on many, and remembered by few, are the origins and significance of this special day. The 4th of July celebrates an important birthday, the birth of our nation and the Declaration of Independence of the 13 colonies as a separate but united state. This revolutionary declaration espoused the government for the people, by the people. It states we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Instrumental in our nation's fight for independence was the colonial militia, the predecessors of the colonial army and today's National Guard. These soldiers fought a valiant fight, ensuring the formation of an independent state and laying the foundation for the National Guard's role in future conflict. As we celebrate this 4th of July, let's pause for a moment and remember the men and women who are serving this country today, securing that freedom just as our country's forefathers did. Have a happy and safe 4th of July.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now, here are our co-hosts for today's July 4th special, Doug Wortham and Jason Burley.
Well, thank you, Tom, for that great introduction. And Jason, it's great to have you in the studio here. Wonderful to see you today.
Thanks, Doug. Great to be back as usual.
Yeah, so this is a great program. And we were talking about putting the 4th of July show together. One of the things we talked about was how do we highlight freedom and the sacrifices of those that serve. And so I'm really excited to have today's topic in place and bring in our first guest for the day. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a perspective of a soldier's experience, hear that same perspective from his spouse, then his employer, and also bring in the battalion commander. So before we get to all that, let's get to our first guest who happens to be in studio with us, Captain Charles Hartwig. He's the battalion fire support officer for 2 of the 135 Infantry Battalion, recently deployed and returned from the Horn of Africa, is also a middle school science teacher at Rosemount Middle School. Captain Hartwig, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug, Jason, Tom. Thanks for having us here.
It's so great to have you in here and to be a part of this special July 4th show where we get to talk about these sacrifices and really what that cost is for those who serve to defend the freedoms that we have. So like we always try to do with each of our guests is just get a little bit of a background about who you are and what you do. So let's talk about your military service. How long have you been in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
I've been in the military for 24 years, enlisted in 1997, before 9/11, and it's been a pretty good experience for 24 years being with the Minnesota Guard the entire time.
And you recently returned from the Horn of Africa, and that, from what I understand, is just one of several deployments that you've been on.
The Horn of Africa was the last deployment. Many people in the Minnesota Guard have been deployed multiple times. That was my fourth deployment to overseas areas, Italy, Iraq, Kuwait, and then finally the Horn of Africa.
And I would imagine that 24 years ago when you first joined, you didn't ever imagine that you would be deployed 4 separate times. As a matter of fact, the same era from when I served and as Jason, you know, we were typically 1 week in a month and 2 weeks out of the year that we're serving in the reserve component. So 24 years ago, why did you even join?
There's many reasons. I think a lot of soldiers join. Mine are very similar to them. First of all, I wanted to serve. You know, I believe my faith, you know, I wanted to live a life of service. That was very important to me. I also come from a military family. Both of my grandpas, my grandpa served on the USS Valley Forge in the 1950s, and my grandpa in England served with the British military. And my father, Captain Jerry Hartwig, was also an artillery and PSYOP officer, and he served for 20-plus years to include Desert Storm. And so I think that was another main reason that I joined. And finally, like, my mom is a naturalized citizen of this country, and I think that really showed me how important it is that this country continues, because, you know, she came here and became a great citizen of this country, and it was a great life-changing experience, and that's why we're here today, and it's a way of life we want to defend.
When you think back on that decision to join, what were you thinking was going to be the most difficult part of service, and then ultimately what became the most difficult part of service?
When you join, I don't know if you really think about that most difficult part. You're kind of thinking about, you know, you just want to serve. Over time, though, you know, as you go through deployments and as you go through different experiences, there's a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. I think the toughest part was highlighted 2 days ago when it was the anniversary of Sergeant Kyle Miller, who didn't make it back from Iraq from us with the 125 Field Artillery. And so that the date always resonates with you. And then a couple days later, there's another anniversary. And so you always think about those. That's obviously the toughest experience. And I know a lot of soldiers have that over the past 20 years since 9/11, you know, those guys that didn't make it back. And there's then after that, you've got a lot of stressors with your family, with your civilian job. There's all these things that you don't really think about when you first join, but as you look back, you go, okay, yeah, I can see how tough that was, not only on me, but on my family, my employers. And so there's a lot of things you don't think about, but after 20 years, you look back and go, man, those are tough.
So we're speaking with Captain Charles Hartwick, who is a battalion fire support officer with two of the 135 Infantry Battalion. And, you know, we look back over that 24 years, we talk about the four deployments you've had, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but I always like to have that analogy of it's very easy for us to serve. Whatever the number of years is, it's easy for us to serve, and typically it's easy for a service member to go and deploy. We've got it pretty made, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Like, you don't have to choose what you're going to wear that day or what you're going to eat. It's whatever they're serving at the chow hall. Doing laundry is pretty easy. You know, you go to the gym, you know, you stay physically fit. So in many ways, you know, that routine, that battle rhythm that you get on a deployment can be very easy. So, you know, life can be tough in some ways, but as far as those daily things you do, it can be pretty routine.
And then, of course, easy for us. You get through the training, you get on the deployment, you get to where you're supposed to go, your mission focus, battle rhythm is in place. Now you have time to stop and think about what's going on back home. How does that impact you?
Oh, it's a huge impact. I would say it was probably the number one soldier issue. You know, things that were happening back home definitely that directly affects your performance on your mission. It can be anything from, you know, wife, kids, or maybe money issues. But anything that happens back home directly relates to a soldier's performance overseas.
And so looking back again, today, you've got 24 years of experience. If you could go back and tell your young self 24 years ago before you joined, what do you wish you would be able to tell yourself when you're getting ready to raise your hand and make that oath?
If you could go back and tell yourself something, I guess I would try to set expectations. You know, I think we see the recruiting videos where, you know, it's all gung-ho, you're going to do all this cool stuff. And that there is a lot of that, and the training has been very good over the past 24 years with the Minnesota Guard. But, you know, you don't have those expectations of how is this going to affect, you know, my family. Meeting your kid for the first time that was born on a deployment, you know, or any, you know, family issues that happen, you know, a grandparent passes away or something. You know, you don't have that, that expectation when you first join. You're like, yep, it's going to be all that high-speed fun stuff. And there's a lot more stressors than there is just, you know, the combat mission.
Right. And so, again, you're looking back, and now I understand that you're getting ready to actually end this chapter of your life, your service. Talking to other young people who might be considering serving in our United States military, what kind of message do you have for anybody that might be considering joining any of the branches of service?
I guess I would try to set their expectations with the Minnesota Guard is, And I think some people might still have that old mindset of one weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer. The Guard now is so much more dynamic. The Guard has to be very, as we've seen this past year, ready to deploy overseas, whether it's Middle East, Africa, or other parts of the world, and also to do state active duty with any kind of civil disturbances or natural disasters. And so when you join the Guard now, it's a big commitment. But I would also like to tell them, and guys that have been in for 10, 12 years that are like, I just can't handle this anymore, that getting to 20 years and looking at the benefits after, not just with like health care, TRICARE, and the retirement thing, but looking back on all the good soldiers you've met and those relationships you've built over 20 years is worth the sacrifice of joining the military.
Well, that's a great message. And, you know, as I indicated before and as you agreed, we've got the easy job, but we do want to make sure that we've got some time to talk to those that have a harder job, and that is talking to our spouses, the family members, and our employers. So with that, I'd like to say thanks for spending some time with us in studio today. We appreciate you doing that. We do have to take a short break, but we will be back with more of our July 4th special. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Well, welcome back to our special July 4th show, where we are examining the federal deployment's effect on our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, their families, their civilian employers, and their military commanders. Now, here are our co-hosts of today's July 4th special, Doug Wortham and Jason Burley.
So we had the great opportunity to speak with Captain Charles Hardwig on the last segment, and now we have the pleasure to bring in his spouse, Michelle. Michelle is an elementary special education teacher at Jeffers Pond in Prior Lake. And Michelle, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you in here. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can share this story about the different sacrifices from each of the different perspectives. And so we do want to hear about your perspective as a military spouse, your family, and how that experience is really impacted because of the service of your husband. So let's talk about that a little bit. What was your experience or even your familiarity with the military before you met Charles?
Before I met Chuck, I call him Chuck. Before I met Chuck, it was very, very limited. I think I didn't know a lot about the military. I would honestly say I probably didn't know the difference between the National Guard and the regular Army. I don't think I knew the difference between those two. And now, even now, sometimes those lines are blurred a little bit. It's a little blurry about who does what and when and where. So.
And Chuck has been serving for over 24 years. I understand that you've been together for nearly 20 years and married for 16. So when you met him, the military was a part of his life. So it's therefore been a part of your life the entire time that you've had this relationship with him. Now married for 16 years, did you ever imagine that you would experience 4 deployments and the additional training requirements that have been put on his shoulders?
Well, when I first met him, I would say I knew that he was going to be in the military for the long haul. I knew that was going to be a big part of his life. And then when we got married and became a family, it became our life as well. Prior to 9/11, I would say I would have never imagined what a deployment would look like or what it would be like for us. And once 9/11 hit, it became very apparent that it was going to be a big part of our life. And those deployments actually came on top of each other almost, you know, one right after the other. It was supposed to be a 4-year cycle with the National Guard. And I think it ended up being, I think we talked 2 years in between the first deployment and the second deployment.
Wow.
Really a big part of this conversation is the differentiation between how life operates as a military spouse or military family to a traditional serving Guards member. And then how does that change in a deployment? What was the experience for you and your family? How did you deal with it? And, you know, how do you come back together after it?
Well, I think one of the analogies that I've heard about with like how deployments affect families was with Chaplain Morris at one of our reintegration academies a few years back. And he explained that it's like we're all in a canoe. And when somebody stands up and jumps out of the canoe, what happens to it? Well, it gets really rocky and you got to find your way again and balance it out. So in that analogy, Chuck is the one who jumped out of the canoe. And then the same thing happens when they come back. When they come back from the deployment and it gets rocky again and you have to find your way again. So I think in both ways, when they leave, it's really rocky. and you have to figure out the balance and how to continue on with life, and then the same when they come back.
You know, in the previous segment, we said, you know, the military member has a probably less complicated or less complex life, dangerous and difficult. But the complexity of operations is really back at home, right? Nothing changes except we've extracted somebody from the family unit. How do you navigate that? What's the impact on the family unit? And more specifically, how does it impact your children? You have three children as well.
I think the impact this time, this last deployment was a lot different. Our kids were older. They were able to understand more. And trying to like navigate the deployment through their eyes, I think, was very different than in previous deployments when they were younger and maybe they just kind of like dad was gone, but now they're like dad is gone. You know, it's just different for them. And also kind of navigating through a pandemic was a little bit more trickier on our home side. We're very lucky. We have family who live close. We have family and friends who are willing to help us out and neighbors and our neighbors as well. So,
well, the family and the spouse really provide a lot to the service members, knowing that their stability at home helps them to perform their mission and remain focused. And you've obviously been a remarkable member of the organization, being awarded the Molly Pitcher Award. Can you tell us a little bit about Molly Pitcher and what it means to be awarded that?
So the Molly Pitcher Award is an award that's given to military spouses who support the actions of the field artillery. And it was an honor to be recognized for the things that I've done along with so many others to support our soldiers as they are deployed and to able to continue their battle, per se.
You know, in all these years of service, and there's obviously progression, development, maturity over 24 years. When you look back, has your outlook about Independence Day changed as, you know, you think about the service of your husband?
I think it's made me realize just the sacrifice, how true that's, how big that sacrifice is, not only for the soldier, but for the families that are involved as well. That those freedoms aren't free. It comes at a cost. And it comes at a cost to those families.
You know, you have a great experience. I mean, a subject matter expert in family care as it relates to military service and deployments. You know, following along for 20 years, 4 years of deployments overseas. What advice would you give to new families entering this experience? Advice that you give folks during deployments? How do you survive through this kind of service?
I think there's a really important piece that happens before deployment. You never want to rush into that deployment, but it's important to plan. And I think to have a plan, a lot of people will offer, like, let me know if you need anything. Yeah, I heard that a lot. But to put those names on, take mental note of those names and those people who are saying that, because you need a point person. You need somebody when the garage door breaks the very first day that your husband's deployed. And you come home and your garage door breaks and you're like, now what do I do? Actually, I think he fixed that one, but he helped me with that one. But just knowing who can I call when this piece of siding falls off and who's going to help me to fix those things. So I had those names, those people who I could count on. During deployment, I think it's really important that you stay busy and that you keep yourself busy. I mean, having a family, you do tend to stay very busy, but to keep yourself busy so that you don't kind of get stuck dwelling on the things that the other person is missing or all the things that you have to do and becoming upset or angry. And then the post-deployment, just know that it's a rocky road. It's the reintegration. Those first weeks are fantastic and exciting and everybody's happy, but it does take work by the family to figure out everybody's place again.
We're speaking with Michelle Hartwig. And Michelle, we've only got a couple of minutes left here, but one story I think is important to highlight is the fact that through four deployments, you've been pregnant during one, and you actually gave birth during another. So how does that impact you and your family, knowing that your husband can't be there for a very special moment?
It is a lot. With the National Guard, you think it's just one weekend a month and 2 weeks of the year. But those weekends, even those weekends, I know deployment is what you asked about, but even those weekends, they don't fall on the weekends that you don't have anything going on. Those milestones are missed. The births are missed. The major things that happen in life continue to happen, and you just have to include them in the ways that you can. And we were lucky at the when my daughter was born, when he was in Iraq, we were able to. That was like at the beginning of when Skype came out, and so we were able to do some things through Skype, and like he was able to be a part of many milestones in that way.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And thanks for giving the advice to any other family members. But back to your specific situation, how has that community support, that the family support, how has that been as far as the importance to you to help you to get through that, knowing your husband's away, but you still have this group of people, the Yellow Ribbon Networks or whatever, to help you if needed?
That's been amazing just to have that community support. I think when something does happen, or even just the out of the kindness of people's heart, they just start doing things for you and you don't realize it in the moment, but it's really helpful when you come home and your grass has been cut or your sidewalks or your driveway's been shoveled and someone just does that just because they know. And I think those are the important things that help get through. And I don't think I could have, it would have been a lot harder. I could have done it, but it would have been a lot harder not having that support.
Well, we do appreciate you coming in, and I know that the segments go by very fast, and there's more that we could discuss about the different sacrifices and things that you've had to do as a supporting spouse, keeping that family in order while your husband's deployed. I would argue the harder part of our service. So for that, I want to say thank you for your continued support of Chuck and his military service. And, of course, now that he will be soon retiring, you'll have the opportunity to build that honey-do list and keep him around, keep him a little bit busy.
Get those weekends back.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us in studio today. I really do appreciate it. We do have to take a short break, but we will be back with more of our July 4 special. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Welcome back to our special July 4 show, where we are examining how federal deployments affect our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, their families and their civilian employers, and their military commanders. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
This week, families and communities celebrate independence of our country and the freedoms we enjoy as we celebrate the 4th of July. The signers of the Declaration of Independence did not take their signatures lightly. Here we are, hundreds of years later, with the same purpose and promise that guides our country. At your 4th of July celebrations, I encourage you to take a moment to look back at the courage and wisdom of our founding fathers and be renewed in the shared commitment to those core values that brought our nation to life back then. This is still what guides us today. Take a few minutes to remember what the 4th of July is about and to remind ourselves how fortunate we are to be Americans. Remember that freedom is not free, and have a happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now here are our co-hosts of today's July 4th special, Doug Wortham and Jason Burley.
Thank you, Tom. So we've had the opportunity to get a perspective from one of our service members of the Minnesota Army National Guard, his spouse, Michelle, just a very small snippet of some of that sacrifice that our service members have and their family members have. And I think it's important to bring in the employer and have a conversation about some of those sacrifices as well. I don't think that we spend too much time speaking about those sacrifices. So, Jason, I'm excited to bring in Eric Hansen. Eric Hansen is the principal of Rosemount Middle School. Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you in the studio and or on the show and talk about, from your perspective, what it's like to have one of your teachers serving in our military. And so just a little bit about you. I understand that you've completed just over your 21 years in education, and you're a teacher, you're a coach, and you've been an administrator now at the middle school for about 16 years. And so in all of that time, and now as a principal, do you have or have you experienced other teachers or administrators who have had to serve or have had to leave for some type of a deployment while you've been in that position?
Yeah, I have not had that experience. Chuck is certainly the first teacher that we've had be deployed while they're doing their teaching duties. So this is new to me as well.
And so as a new experience to you, is this something that you were able to kind of jump in on a playbook and you kind of had the rules already laid out for you? Or did you kind of have to generate the rules along the way or the playbook along the way?
Yeah, it's pretty well established, our district. has some, you know, steps to take in terms of helping support the deployment. You know, Chuck's a great communicator, and so, you know, he came to me early and let me know that this would be happening, and we were able to take the necessary steps to make sure that, you know, we could cover his absence while he was gone.
And so covering his absence while he was gone, how do you do that? How difficult is that process, you know, for a 1 year time frame to find a backfill to do this teaching role?
You know, the hard part is finding someone that you know, is competent and qualified as Chuck. That's the challenge. The process is, you know, we post the position, you know, we interview candidates for it. The position, as we call it, is a long-term sub position, and so the candidate knows that they're filling a start time and an end time. So for this situation, it was starting at the beginning of the school year, and the position would end at the end of the school year to be able to have Chuck come back to his position that he vacated. So, you know, like I said, the tricky and challenge part is making sure that we get somebody that's competent. Obviously, there's no way we're replacing Chuck and all the things that he does here, but someone that can carry forward for us for a year.
You know, the backfill, sorry, this is Jason. The backfill is probably the straightforward part. But what are the other things that are kind of missing when you have a member of your staff like Chuck gone, vacant from your school, your community? What are the other things that impact you as an employer?
Yeah, that's a great question. It, you know, we talk a lot about our culture, our climate, and our community here at Rosemont Middle School, and Chuck's a pillar of that. He does, you know, things not only inside the classroom and have relationships with kids that are seamless. He's got a good reputation in our community amongst our parents and families because he's been here. It's the other things. It's the wrestling program that he leads. It's the youth wrestling program that he leads and that continue to go forward in his absence. But certainly a gap for, you know, programs like that while he's away. Just the other piece of, you know, knowing that the little things that he does in terms of the leadership that we have. A good example is, I don't know, a few years ago we had our power go out here at the school and during the middle of the day and you know, it's dark in the rooms. And, you know, Chuck's a leader in terms of the teaching capacity that is calm, gets his kids organized. We don't have to worry about that. And of course, after, he's always good about saying, hey, that's something that we might want to reflect on. Let's get together and kind of discuss how that went and what we can do going forward. And I really do think that's attributed to his military skills.
It's really remarkable how multifaceted people are, right? And you don't really recognize that until they're gone and they're missing. So yeah, you have this great teacher, you have a great military service member deployed, you backfill. There's a lot of dynamics to that. What have you learned from this experience that you might do differently if you experience it again? Are there other things that the district is doing as it relates to supporting the military and military families, and how do you foresee supporting this in the future?
You know, because it's the first time we went through it, just reflecting on having him be gone, that, you know, for Chuck and I, it'll be important for us to get reacclimated in terms of, you know, getting back into a rhythm of what we do here at school. And when he's ready for that, you know, we can do that. I think about his team, you know, his science team stepping up and kind of filling the gaps, those day-to-day gaps of having a new colleague on their team and supporting them. So I give this eighth grade science team a lot of credit, you know, being able to do that. And not only with Chuck's absence last year, we had a retirement on the eighth grade science team. So we really had two big voids that we filled here this past year. So just super grateful and excited to have Chuck back.
We're speaking with Eric Hansen, the principal of Rosemont Middle School. And Eric, we only have about a minute left. And I would like to know if there's some message, something that you would like to share with other employers who might be struggling with the deployment of some of their workforce. What message would you have to those employers?
Well, I'd say embrace and support it. You know, to have somebody with the skill set that Chuck has in the building, these are some of the things that just come along with having him a part of our team here. I support it, embrace it. It's a challenge that's worth facing for what you get out of the person when they're here. So, you know, with Chuck's skills and his experiences, his professionalism, boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't change it for a thing.
Well, I sure do appreciate that insight, and I do appreciate you joining us for, albeit a short period of time here on the program, much important because it is needed to shed some light on those sacrifices that our employers make because of the fact that they do continue to support our service members. So, Eric, once again, thanks for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll have more of our 4th of July special. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Welcome back to our special July 4th show, where we are examining how federal deployments affect our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, their families, their civilian employers, and their military commanders. Now, here are our co-hosts of today's July 4th special, Doug Wortham and Jason Burley.
Thank you, Tom. Jason, it's been a great show so far, and obviously hearing that perspective from our soldier, family member, and then, of course, one of the employers. I think it's also important to get that perspective from the commander. That's the person that's responsible, really, for everything that's happening during those deployments as it relates to soldier care, family care, and the relationships with employers. So we're pleased to bring in the commander of 2 of the 135 Infantry Battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Wortham. Former Command Sergeant Major, it's always an honor to speak with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you to kind of give the wrap-up for today's program. You know, it's the 4th of July special. We're talking about some of that cost of service, and we've had that perspective from one of your service members, your fire support officer on the deployment to the Horn of Africa, his wife, Michelle, and kind of those family struggles, if you will, or experiences. And then from Eric Hansen, the employer of one of your soldiers, and just great support all the way around. And it's great to hear that story. But let's talk a little bit about you and then get your perspective, because I know that there's a lot of things that go through a commander's mind. So let's hear about you first, though. Your career, you've got a few deployments, you got 25 years of service, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I grew up around the Little Falls area on a dairy farm, and, you know, as a poor farm kid, I was trying to figure out how to pay for college. I had five uncles that served the Marines. My stepdad had been a Marine, and I had thought about that. And, you know, growing around Camp Ripley, the Guard was very attractive. So in 1994, I was a freshman in college. Halfway through my freshman year, I joined the Minnesota Army National Guard at the age of 19. I was enlisted for 4 years, mobilized for flood duty. That was my first time to stay active duty. Really liked it. Joined ROTC, and, you know, 27 years later, here I am, Lieutenant Colonel, Commander of 2135. I have been deployed to, I was scheduled to go to Bosnia. I was in Iraq on the long deployment for 16 months. And then I was in Afghanistan for a year in 2011 to 2012. So, and then just wrapping up my fourth deployment to the Horn of Africa this last year. So, been a great opportunity to see the world and serve my country.
Well, we appreciate your service, so thank you for that. And our audience wouldn't know this, but you are a superintendent of Minnewaska Public Schools in Glenwood, Minnesota. And so, I mean, that's a pretty important job from what I hear. Your deployment must have had
some days.
Your deployment must have had some type of an impact on you being gone for a year in that superintendent role or those responsibilities. So how did your deployment impact that?
Yeah, it was a real challenge, right? You know, to go back in March of, you know, 2020, all of a sudden we were in Africa doing our pre-deployment site survey, came back, and all of a sudden COVID hit, and I'm going to be gone for 15 months. And so trying to find a replacement for a year, you're kind of the CEO of the school district. We have 1,400 kids, just about, you know, 180 employees. That was challenging, but luckily there was a man named Rick Ellingworth, just a true gentleman, who had just retired from Redwood Falls after 40 years, and he wanted to do his part, and he thought this was his way to serve his community and our country by stepping in and filling in for a year, and he did a phenomenal job, especially with COVID and all the challenges coming with that. So I can't thank and the community around us just for supporting Rick and our entire team. So
Yeah, it was a challenge.
Say, Colonel Rankin, Jason Burley here. First of all, welcome back. One of the things.
Well, thank you so much.
One thing that it just reminded by that story, you know, you're the commander of the battalion, responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen, everything that, Doug said. But you're somebody else. You're somebody's soldier. You're a brigade commander's soldier. You're somebody's spouse. You're a family member. You're an employee. How do you balance the responsibility of the entirety and then focus on yourself as well to ensure that your family's taken care of, your employer is taken care of, and you're doing all those things?
Yeah, it's a challenge, and thank God my wife's not on, or she tells you sometimes I don't do a good job of it. But, you know, I guess first and foremost, you know, both of you being in the military, put the mission first. We do everything we can to make sure we achieve our mission. We put our soldiers in the right spot, the right time, the right place, the right resources, and, try to get them the right training to be successful. And then, you know, honestly, it's just managing your time. There's only so much you can do, and there's always one more thing you'd like to do, and making sure you prioritize that time. And so for me, you know, it always comes around the most critical things, and then you get into those things that can only make it better. And I've been blessed to have just a great support team and, great command team. So, you know, I'd say in the end, really trust your subordinates. I got a great NCO corps. They've been in the Army just as almost as long as I have. Just, you know, tell them what you want to achieve. Tell them what the terms are, you know, your left and right limit, and maybe just get out of their way and watch them succeed.
It is so funny that you say those things. Doug and I were just having a conversation before the show started, and he shared with me a piece of advice that Neil Loydalt shared with him, that you have to focus on just doing the things only you can do. And what a great piece of advice, and that, I think that explanation just really exemplified how you do that.
Yeah, General Loydalt, I've wrote a number of quotes for him, and that I do. I only do what only me, the commander, can do. I got plenty of people who do a lot of other things. I just got to let them go and get out of their way. And they'll surprise you most days and probably do even better than you could do.
I think we all have a long list of quotes from retired General Loydalt. We are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, who is the commander of 2-135, the Infantry Battalion. And okay, sir, so you just came back from your deployment, the Horn of Africa, and, you had all of these responsibilities, your soldiers. And what were the main issues that your soldiers were facing?
I'd say first and foremost, you know, what's changed is, you know, I got a lot of young soldiers. An infantry battalion is predominantly men. I think we had just short of 1,000 soldiers, 65 females, a little over 900 males. On the average age, about 24, so a lot of them they're in their first years of service. And many of them have never been out of the country. And so when you go to a foreign country like Africa, it can be very challenging. A lot of things that we take for granted in the United States, just, you know, basic service of electricity, sewer, water, food. A lot of these countries struggle to provide that with their citizens. So for a lot of our soldiers witnessing this firsthand, I can tell you one terrible example is we had a young person, but she wasn't very young, but our young people watched this elderly woman die of starvation and dehydration, and it was very hard to watch because the government provides certain services, but they are stretched so thin that you watch just a lot of humanitarian crisis, because we went there during COVID, there was a drought, there was locust infestation, and so tons of migrants, and for a lot of our soldiers, just witnessing poverty firsthand that they have never seen in their life is a real challenge. And then obviously, there's an unstable environment with terrorist networks and things like that, but I think witnessing what it's like to truly live in another country, a third world country, was an eye-opener for so many young people in my battalion.
Sir, you know, obviously, it's important that we have a network of people back home here to support soldiers, airmen, service members as they're deployed, and we heard the story of your fire support officer. How important is it for you as a commander to know that there is a solid foundation back home here, whether it's from the employer, the community, or the family?
Well, I'll tell you what, it allows our soldiers to stay focused on their mission. We take for granted. We put kids in, you know, really challenging and sometimes dangerous situations, and they need their mind focused on forward and not at home in the rear. And to have the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Committee, the different family support groups, Military OneSource, all the resources back here allow our soldiers and their families to focus on, again, what we said earlier, only what they can do. So at that particular time, only they can man that post or secure that control point or that base or that sector or be on patrol. And their families can focus on, hey, providing the best environment for their kids. If it means that they're sick and they need some help or, you know, they got a gap in their daycare, it allows each one of us to keep going forward and keep everyone mind focused on the job at hand.
Sir, we have less than a minute remaining here. And if you could please just close out with a message here. What does celebrating our nation's independence mean to you now?
I would tell you, I brought, I think, 13 soldiers that are first-generation Americans and watching them. If it was from Africa, you know, I have one from Pakistan, Somalia, just to show how proud they are to be Americans. And then witnessing a third-world country and knowing how lucky we are, that every single day, we might disagree, but just remember how blessed we are to live in the greatest country this world's ever seen. And don't take that for granted, because that's a blessing every single day. So I'm glad that, and I'm happy to do my part to defend that, and I'm proud of all those that stand and do that with us. So please enjoy and be safe and enjoy our great country on this 4th of July weekend.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, the commander of 2 of the 135 Infantry Battalion. Thank you, sir, so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. And Jason, it was great to be in the studio with you again.
Always good to see you, sir.
This was another great show.
Thanks for listening to this July 4th edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please take a moment to reflect on the sacrifices made by our military, their families, and their civilian employers to help keep us safe while you're celebrating Independence Day this year. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Captain Charles Hartwig, Michelle Hartwig, Eric Hansen, Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, today's co-hosts Doug Wortham and Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. I hope you have a safe July 4th holiday and ask you to please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and check in with the United Heroes League. That's coming up next weekend on MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.